From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
I can't believe I stayed up to watch this game. The Knicks blowing out at home to the Wizards right before the NBA All-Star break. That's going to take place in Chicago, Illinois. This was a very, very rough game to watch tonight. I hate the fact that we had to come on and discuss this, but I guess this is why we call it free therapy. I mean, this was the ugliest basketball game played all year. I think regardless if it was the Knicks or not, the Knicks got blown out at home by double digits, almost a 20-point blowout. The turnovers, the miscues, the missed shots, the technical fouls, the personal fouls. It's really hard to really discuss this the way I really, I could be doing other things with my time. There's other TV shows I could be watching. I could be watching other games, programs, you know, go on about my life. But I choose, for whatever reason, to come on to this platform and to discuss why another night the Knicks get blown out by 20 plus points. It's just a mind-boggling how this game was played, man. It's just an ugly game, turnovers galore. Julius Randle, man, I think they need to modify his contract to the sense of if he dribbles more than 4 or 5 seconds continuously, it's a $20,000 fine. Now, this is how we got to treat Julius Randle, man. He's a human turnover in the paint. They strip him like all day long, all night long. The Wizards made shots in the fourth quarter. The Knicks couldn't. Where do we go with this? I mean, Harkless is getting more minutes than Kevin Knox. I thought we were developing Kevin Knox. He's not getting the minutes. Why is Maurice Harkless playing? I don't understand that. Bradley Beal, and let me get to the Wizards side of things real quick. I don't understand why he's not an All-Star. See, this is one of the things why I gave up on All-Star selections and watching the game itself. It really doesn't matter. I mean, I'm watching Scott Brooks hug up on John Wall on the sideline as if they won the Eastern Conference title, like they're going to the NBA Finals. I mean, they're hugging each other and stuff. I mean, you beat the Knicks. I mean, what are you like hugging and smiling for? Carrying over from the game on Sunday night after the Knicks putrid overtime loss, or double overtime loss to the Hawks. This is back-to-back losses headed into the All-Star break. It's just so many errors, man. R.J. Barrett can't make consistent three-pointers, which is, I think main reason why this game was lost as well. Can't knock down perimeter shots. Knicks only made two or three three-pointers out of 20-something shots. It was just disgusting. Dominic, man, what's up, bro? Where do we go, man? I mean, pitchers and catchers did report. I guess there is some kind of news today. How you doing?
Good evening, Steven. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Baseball is back.
I guess.
A few weeks late this year, because normally I'm thinking about it mid-January. I mean, I probably was. Don't get me wrong, Steve, but you know what's funny, Steve? Not to get on point, but I was just laughing because, I don't know, I actually watched the Knicks broadcast tonight. And Mike Breen and Wally was talking about, you know, the difference with threes and twos. And Breen said, well, you know, some guys just shouldn't be shooting threes. And right on cue, R.J. Barrett launches a rocket from the Wizards bench and clank. I was like, damn, that's ironic. He just said this, and one of the guys that shouldn't be shooting threes is shooting a three. When do they
I'm glad you brought
that up. How do you shoot 23 shots?
Hold on. I'm glad you brought that
sorry,
up.
Steve.
I think he should be, I think he should be taking threes because he needs to develop that. I was thinking about that during the game because they gave him all the threes they could ask for. This season is lost. He might as well launch them, get some kind of rhythm because there's no better setting to do it than an actual game. I mean, he might as well jack them up. He's got to start them with someone. What are your thoughts on that?
I think he should at least start in practice, Steve, because it's kind of apparent that he needs them. Well, we knew this, you know, guys that watch college basketball. He wasn't a good shooter, but it don't seem like he's getting better. So, again, I don't know his practice ethics and what he's doing in practice, but when you see him in the game, it's looked the same all year, Steve. He don't really have a it's not even a pretty shot. He looks so stiff when he shoots, especially from the outside. It's almost like, should I? And then he ends up launching it. I mean, like tonight, he only shot 4, but he didn't hit any. It just seems like he's very hesitant when he goes to shoot, Steve, whether it's a 3-pointer or a 2-pointer. That's just me, you know, an outsider looking in. And I, again, I'm unfortunately, I watched him in college. Maybe if I didn't watch him in college, I would say, you know what, he's young, he'll come around. But he couldn't shoot in college either, Steve. His foul shooting's getting better. You know, I think he was 6 for 6 the last time I checked tonight on his free throws. So, okay, that's coming around. But, you know, what's he doing in the gym, Steve? I don't know. I know he hurt his ankle. So I don't know how much cardio he was getting running around the court, doing spot-up threes or whatever. But that's the Knicks' Achilles heel, Steve. Has been, they have climbed up the charts on defense. We got to give them credit for that, Steve. They have climbed the charts on defense. They've had some letdowns, that double overtime game in Atlanta. But they actually have become a much better team, Steve. Statistically, too, not just me saying how they look. I'm actually talking numbers. They become a better defensive team. Their offense is so – Steve, come on, man. You said it. That fourth quarter looked so disorganized. It's like they couldn't do nothing wrong. There was a time I think they had 4 or 5 straight turnovers. I'm like, whoa, and you definitely nailed it. Randle, Steve, I don't think anybody could stop him down low. It's just him getting there that seems to be the issue because he dribbles too much. And then when he gets jammed, he ends up throwing the ball away. I mean, again, tonight, 4 turnovers. So, but you got to admit, see, when he gets down low, he's a beast. He is a beast. I mean, he's got a lot to work on with his decision-making. But – There wasn't nobody on the Knicks starting five. I'm looking at it now. Even I'm not into the plus-minus thing. There wasn't nobody a plus. And that's what makes this plus-minus so ridiculous. Because Payton actually played a good game. And he ended up a minus 13. Come on. That's why I don't buy into that nonsense. I don't buy into that. He had a good game. You know, 19, 4, 8. You know. 5 steals.
Payton has been the catalyst of keep helping the season not be what it was the last couple of years. Meaning when I say that, Dom, and I think we can agree, the stability of that point guard position, he's not playing like an all-star level, but he's given us something where they could play consistently in the half-court offense. I mean, he's giving you almost 9 assists a night. I just think the Atlanta game in the overtime, he really messed things up. But outside of that, hold on, you got a lot of background. Let me meet you real quick. So, Payton has played solid, and I think that's helped the Knicks on that 4-game win streak, helping set up guys, get them open. He's even knocked down a couple of shots. He's even gotten Bullock and Ellington finding them off curls on 3-pointers during the 4-game win streak. Even in Atlanta, the game they lost, they should have won. He got those guards coming off curls, finding them at the right open time. But tonight, not definitely not his fault, but I was going back to the Atlanta game. The overtime, when they were up like 7 points under a minute and a half, and they blew that overtime lead to go to the second overtime, I thought that was Peyton. Peyton, they were not composing. I blame that on the point guard. But tonight's loss, oh, man, I mean, where do you start? I mean, first of all, they can't stop Bradley Beal. Nobody can stop Bradley Beal, Dom. And what I'll also say is I don't know how Bradley Beal is not an all-star. That I don't understand it. I mean, the guy's almost averaging 30 a night. I don't get how he's not an all-star. I mean, then again, you know, I don't really pay attention too much to the all-star stuff. But the rest of our team, I mean, Dom, answer me this question, if you can. Why is Kevin Knox getting the minutes? I mean, I thought that was the point. Marcus Morris gets traded. We develop Kevin Knox. We give him minutes. You put Kevin Knox in there. You trade Marcus Morris. And then Kevin Knox supposed to get the minutes, and Harkless is taking his minutes, like more of his minutes. I thought we were developing Kevin Knox. What is this plan?
Steve, I think I brought this up once before. I get to the point where, and I'm not the coach, I just get to the point as a fan where I say, maybe I've seen enough. I understand his age, but when you see the same thing over and over and over again with him, Steve, every team makes a mistake with a draft pick. And I think that's what's hard for us to put our finger on, that, you know, we've made quite a few. But I just don't think, Steve, and I said this last year, I understood his age, but I just didn't think he was NBA ready. He is a prime example, Steve, of these one and dones. They're a hit or miss, and a lot of times they're a miss. He may just be one of them, Steve. It's no knock on the kid. You know, maybe they should have sent him down to the G League. Let him get his game together, you know, get in a flow, something. Because everything you see with him, Steve, is the same thing. Again, I'm not a coach. I'm not a scout. But just as a fan, I see very little improvement from him from this year, last year, this year. You know, his work ethic, his motor, his shot selection, when he goes to the hoop, it's hit or miss too. You know, he don't go to the hoop with, I don't want to say confidence. And I know his confidence got to be a little rattled, Steve, because if we're seeing his game looking a little shaky, I'm pretty sure he's seeing it too. But I just think with him, Steve, the bottom line is, he wasn't, and he still might not be NBA ready. I mean, he's only, what, 19, 20 years old? I mean, I don't want nobody to kill his confidence, but he just don't seem to have improved, Steve. I'm sorry. That's the best way I could sum him up.
That is a great point. Why is he not in the G League? Why is he not gaining confidence and working on his development game in Westchester? That's the point of the G League. You want to have guys come up to the varsity, you know, ready to go, and he doesn't look ready. He's regressed. What's really disappointing, Dom, is your boy, Dennis Smith Jr., man. I know he's been injured in and out, but, I mean, he just looks off. I mean, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because I know he could play better. We've seen him at MNC State. I know you've seen him even more closer growing up. Him growing up, but what is going on with him, man? I mean, why the regression since last year when he came off of the team?
You know what's weird, Steve? And again, I always got to try to take my Smith hat off. A lot of times, and even with this coach, they pulled the plug really quick. I mean, I understand he had 4 turnovers, but he also had 4 points, 4 rebounds in them little 6 minutes, where Knox played 10 minutes and only had 2 points and no rebounds. I mean, I don't know what the coach is doing. I assume, Steve, that the Knicks are still playing to win. And that's the one thing I could give the coach credit for. You know, I got to put the guys out there that's going to give me the best opportunity to win. We ain't throwing the towel in. They don't look like the normal tank machine that they've been over the last 4 or 5 years. They seem to be more in the game. And that's where I always say when when everybody says play the young guys, Steve, who are these young guys we're talking about? Barrett? This is Robinson's second year. Okay, we'll give him a slight alibi, but even him, Steve, with his decision-making, his fouling, and then getting upset when he makes a foul, you know, look, man, you ain't Charles Barkley. You're not going to get no alibis on a foul. Excuse me. You're not that good yet. You don't have no cachet in this league. Foul a guy, walk away. You know, work on that, first of all, not fouling. But when you look at it, Steve, like even their starting five tonight, minus Randle, they had four seasoned veterans in the game. You know what my real question is, Steve? If you're playing to win, why isn't Taj Gibson playing more? He don't give you a lot, you know, numbers-wise, but he gives you that energy. He's in the game. He keeps everybody else in the game. He's a good defensive player, hence the reason, one of the reasons the Knicks are a better defensive team. But this shuffling in and out, Dotson, I understand he might have been sick, did not play, got a bunch of DMPs. But when everybody says these young guys, Steve, who are we really talking about? When we say play the young guy, what do? Send all these vets down to the G League and bring them? You're only talking about two or three guys. Randle, Robinson, Knox, you know, Smith, Ntilikina. They've been in the league 3-4 years now, Steve. We can't classify them as play the young guys. So who are we really talking about when we say play the young guy? Again, Steve, sometimes we've seen enough. I'm sorry, Steve.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think Knicks Nation, Knicks Twitter, a lot of us don't agree on a lot of things, but I think we're all on the same page as far as Kevin Knox. If you're not going to play him significant minutes in the NBA, I don't see why you're not sending him to Westchester. Matter of fact, you could go on message boards on any site. I mean, I'll read the comments for you, Dom. I mean, when it comes to Kevin Knox, Kevin Knox, it says it can't get any one comment. It can't get any worse for Kevin Knox, who's only positive right now is his age. Even his trade value won't get any worse. Another comment. I'm somebody who will continuously remind myself he's just a kid. He will grow as a player. But yeah, it's clear as day. He looks lost. He looks completely mental. He doesn't even seem to be there on the court. His mind looks like it's wandering. There's hardly any drive in his approach, and he's more often than not just floating around. Knox may need some serious mentor to get his head right in the NBA level of play. Said it before, but he'll blossom somewhere else. Probably a team that has a star small forward that can mentor him, and then he'll be a solid in 5 years. So you have different Knicks fans, NBA fans, looking at Kevin Knox as pretty much a project. He needs it. We talk about the young guys, man. Yo, this season is damn near lost, man. I know we had the little 4-game win streak, and statistically or in the standings, we're 5.5 games out of the 8 seed after the win versus Detroit. But I just don't see us catching those teams. So what's the point of, you know, you traded Morris, put him in the G League. That's how I look at it. The shooting tonight, it went cold. Bullock, Ellington, Dom, they're actually were shooting very well. Some the shooting that we were kind of dying for all year, because I thought these guys would have had that in their repertoire for the most part, and they were just off tonight. The Wizards, this is one thing we know about the Wizards, Dom. They may not have the most talented team, but they play hard, and we played them. You know, we're familiar playing with them. Against them, you know, the last several years, they play hard. And Bradley Beal, in my opinion, I remember they were comparing him to, you know, when he was coming out of Florida, they were comparing him to Ray Allen. You know what, Dom? This may not be far-fetched, and I love Ray Allen. You know, I hate the fact that he went to the Celtics and the Heat, but that's a story for another day. But Dom, I think Bradley Beal, he may have more upside than Ray Allen, man. I mean, he's averaging almost 30 a night, Dom, Bradley Beal. What's your thoughts on not only, you know, with the Wizards side of things, but, you know, R.J. Barrett, Mitchell Robinson? I mean, the technical fouls tonight, Bobby Portis. What's your thoughts, Dom?
The weird thing about Beal, Steve, is my old analogy. Shooters can shoot. But he showed you tonight, early on, when his shot wasn't working. You remember, Steve, back in the day, we watched basketball. Beal was a jump shot or nothing. He very seldom went to the hoop with aggression. But slowly but surely, he started doing that. And that's what he did tonight. Then he started knocking down shots. Steve, this guy is one of the best shooters and scorers in the league. I mean, you're right, Steve. He's averaging 29.1 points. I don't get into the All-Star thing. I'm like you, Steve. I don't like the All-Star game. I rarely watch it. It's a farce. But this guy, I mean, come on, Steve. And you know what's weird? When we talk about all of this so-called young talent we got, we've gone through a couple of trade deadlines now, Steve. And not once have you heard anybody saying, hey, I'll give you a late first round, second round pick for. We've never heard that. So, again, I look at it, you know, where it simply is what it is. They are who they are. I'm not saying they can't get no better, Steve. Please don't take that the wrong way. But nobody's knocking the door down to get them. R.J. Barrett, Steve, because of where he went in the draft, who he went to, he's still a project, Steve. He's a good 2 to 3 year project, which would have realistically years ago put him at his first year in the NBA. Again, this one and done, it is what it is. I always bring up Ja Morant. He only did 2 years, but he did 2 years, Steve. He knew he wasn't ready. So he went back to college for another year, came back. Now look at him. He's NBA ready, Steve. Let's not get this twisted. This kid is NBA ready. Am I saying that one extra year made that much of a difference? Maybe. Because he sure as hell came in the league and looked like he was ready. You take these guys, Steve. Dennis Smith Jr., Nil Aquina, Barrett, Knox. I'm just talking about the guys we selected as one and done. They've all been projects. They're not game changers. They're not franchise changers. They're simply a part of, we could actually say, a not very good roster. And they were lottery picks. So there's something that comes attached with that lottery pick, Steve. You expect a little more, a little faster with a lottery pick. And we have not been lucky when it comes to that lottery pick, Steve. Look at Zion. Look at Barrett. Look at that kid I always talk about on Denver, Michael Porter Jr., when he gets in the game. These guys just look ready, Steve. There's something about having sheer talent, being ready, and then learning how to get in the NBA flow, where our guys are not NBA ready, semi-talented, need time. So, again, Steve, you look back at our four draft picks, Porzingis, Nil Aquina, Knox, Barrett. Not one of them, though we thought Porzingis would be a franchise changer, but he's gone now. We have not struck gold with our lottery picks, Steve. It's sad, but it's true. I don't even like saying it as a Knicks fan. I mean, I don't know where they go, what they do, Steve, to be honest. Because, again, the trade deadlines come and go. We never get nothing out of it. People get excited. Oh, we got 7 first-round picks for the next 30 years. But some of them are late picks. And what are you really getting out of it? You got to start winning, Steve. That's the point. You got to start winning in order to lure somebody, anybody. We just need that one guy, Steve, that one guy to say, you know what? I see where they're going. Maybe. You know, they need a star.
Well, they do. But I do think they did string a couple of wins together, four games of wins together. Dom, before the Detroit game, going into Atlanta, they had that game. They should have won that game, but they did not close out that overtime well. And they would have been going into this game on a 5-game win streak, but that's neither here nor there. They lost that game. Although they did play well, they just had a sloppy overtime. They made a nice comeback in the fourth quarter. I'm with you. I'm a little bit more optimistic on R.J. Barrett, Dom. I understand what you're saying about Zion Williamson, Ja Morant. The only thing I'll say about Zion Williamson, because, I mean, he didn't start playing until January. I mean, think about it like this. If the Knicks would have had him, if he would have gotten injured, would we be seeing Zion Williamson until January? I mean, I kind of look at it like things like that. Like, what if he had gotten hurt? The Knicks probably would have babied him. He probably would not have played. And I mean, he's been a force now for like what, the last 8-9 games. But before that, he hasn't played 40 plus games. So I kind of look at it from that perspective. I'm confident in RJ Barrett. He will develop a jumper. I just think that it definitely is one of those things that needs work in the offseason. I think I trust him more than I do trust Kevin Knox. And going back to what I was saying about the point guard situation, man, I mean, I really believe this, Don, man. I'm going to call Elfrid Payton an insurance policy because Frank Ntilikina wasn't getting it done. I mean, Frank Ntilikina hasn't gotten it done. Elfrid Payton, even when Dennis Smith Jr. was going in and out of the lineup and his, you know, his passing of his mother, was it his mother-in-law or something like that? Or something like that, a family member. We'll say a family member. I can't remember exactly the relation. And he was out for like 7 games. And then Elfrid Payton finally came in once Fizdale was gone. I mean, if it wasn't for the stability of the point guard making his engine going, who knows, man? This time we would probably be looking at another 17-win season. But, Dom, we'll move on to around the NBA because I know that, you know, the Lakers and Nuggets are on. And I definitely want to see if you want to get, you know, watch that game because I'll give you some final thoughts. I just think the Knicks just got outplayed. It was one of the ugliest games, not only with the Knicks, but I just think all year round. It was just an out of sync game. We'll just have to see how the Knicks going to respond next time they play. It will be in the next, 9 days. So they have time to get a break and relax and recover, recoup. Don, final thoughts, anything around the NBA? You know, I think we hit the nail on the head about the Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies are playing fantastic. I mean, I'm trying to think of the teams around the league that I want to give props. I think the Toronto Raptors, man, I think they don't get their just due as far as the respect around the league. I mean, they're on a little bit. They lost tonight, though. They did lose to the Nets. But, Don, final thoughts from you around the NBA as we wrap up.
The weird thing about the Zion and the Pelicans situation, they have a good team, Steve. So by them holding him out as long as they did, they're only maybe 4 or 5 games out of that 8 seed. They still got to play the Grizzlies a couple of times, or one time maybe. They have to play San Antonio. So they actually have to play the teams that are ahead of them. But that was a good move, Steve. You know, sit him out until he's really, really ready. And we're going to make a push. They went on a good little streak, you know, when he came back, and they lost because I have a tendency of watching their games too. They went on a pretty good run, Steve, but even though Memphis is only one game over 500, they never really got into that 6-5, 6-7 game losing streak. So they're staying, you know, above water around the NBA, Steve. You're right, Lakers and Nuggets. I don't think, and I said this last year, Steve, I don't think the Nuggets get enough credit. They got the second best record in the West. They're only 3 games behind the Lakers. And they're like an afterthought to everybody. Oh, Lakers, Clippers, Lakers, Clippers. And they were like that last year, Steve. And they was one Jamal Murray bad game away, game 7, of going to the finals, the conference finals. But they don't get no – I don't know what it is, Steve. The Denver games don't come on that late. You know, it's not like they come on at 10:30.
I think it is? I think because they don't get the coverage like the Lakers, the Clippers, the Rockets. Maybe a lot of people don't, you know, they're not on national TV as much as those other teams I just mentioned, Dom. I think that's a main issue for the Nuggets. But here's my thoughts on the Nuggets. I still don't trust them, honestly. I mean, I think they got a nice balanced lineup. They're a deep team, Dom. But I don't trust the Nuggets because – I really believe at the end of the day, honestly, I mean, when you need a bucket in a big moment in a playoff game, do I think they'll come through? I don't think so. Shoot, they almost lost to San Antonio last year. As a matter of fact, San Antonio should have beaten them last year when it went 7. But I mean, they're a young team, and I don't want to keep on using the young team cliche on them. I just think when it comes down to it, I trust LeBron and Anthony Davis more than the Nuggets. I trust James Harden and Russell Westbrook more than the Nuggets. I trust who's the Clippers, especially you know, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Doc Rivers more than Mike Malone. I even trust more Utah more than the Nuggets. You know, I really do like Utah more than the Nuggets. I just think the Nuggets are a nice team during the regular season. Jokic has been inconsistent, but he's played better as of late, Dom. But they don't have that star. That doesn't necessarily they need it, but I just don't see the Nuggets haven't given me anything to trust, you know, in a big spot. That's kind of how I look at them. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a great point. Until they prove it, Steve. And the Toronto Raptors, though they lost tonight, it's hard for people to believe that they have the third best record in basketball. And they're like an afterthought. And everybody was picked to be ahead of them, Milwaukee, Boston, Philly. Some people even said Indiana, you know, losing Kawhi. They was going to – how do they do it, Steve? They got a great coach. Don't get it twisted. They got a very good coach. But even before the Kawhi thing, yeah, they couldn't get by LeBron. But they were always competitive, Steve. And now you look at them and say, you know, the Raptors. But they got the third best record in basketball. And unfortunately – they're in the second seed because Milwaukee got out to a blazing start. So, again, see, when you look around the league, Indiana, they had a rough go at it for a while. I don't even know if they won tonight because they had lost like six in a row. Yeah, they won tonight. They beat the Bucks actually. So, there's some intrigue, I will say that, Steve, going into the playoffs. Really, now it's just about the seeding. You know, because if it ended right now, Toronto would play Brooklyn.
The Raptors, in my opinion, had the best developmental program in the entire league. You mentioned it, Dom, with Casey. When they had Casey was coaching and DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry was a backup and they drafted Van Vliet out of Wichita State, the Raptors, they were developing Pascal Siakam. They were developing all these long – athletic wing players, Norman Powell type guys, you know. So it made the transition easier. Even when they had Kawhi Leonard, he was only playing 75% of the games. He sat 25% of those games, and they were winning without him when he sat. So it's kind of like they're used to playing without him.
And you look at the other guys, Steve. Even though he's only averaging 10.5. But it's really his first year because he sat out all of last year. Anobi, you know, he comes
Anobi,
in.
Yeah,
he's getting his 10 points, 6 rebounds. I don't know how they do it, Steve, to be honest. That you're right. They got a great developmental system because these guys
sure
come
do.
In. And again, Steve, they just seem like they're ready. For whatever reason, they just seem
they're
ready. Yeah. And it is what it is. I mean, between Anobi and Siakam, Steve, that's two young players that you're going to have for a minute. Van Fleet, if they so happen to keep him, they got a good young nucleus. Yeah, they got a good young nucleus, Steve, with some, again, battle-tested vets. What a great combination, man.
Look at the moves they made. The general manager, the reason why he's been a hot name in the New York press, because look at what he's done. He traded Valanciunas for Gasol, and it worked out. He traded DeMar DeRozan after he signed that big contract for Kawhi Leonard on a rental, and that worked out. Kyle Lowry was hurt a lot last year, and they had Van Vliet waiting in the shadows in the development, and that worked out. Every button they put. Oh, and here's the best thing. Dwayne Casey, coach of the year, gets fired for the guy that was on the bench in the first year of his head coach, Nick Nurse, and that's worked out. He's got the best winning percentage in the first 2 years in NBA history. And he's not. And that title used to belong to Steve Kerr. And he doesn't have Steve Kerr. Like, he doesn't have Stephen Curry. He doesn't have Klay Thompson. He didn't have Kevin Durant. He's coaching pretty much hungry, athletic guys that play in a solid system. This is impressive, man, with the Raptors, man. And here's another thing. The Raptors fly under the radar in their own city, because in that city, it's the Maple Leafs that run shit. It ain't the Raptors. So they kind of fly under the radar in their own city.
Their own country.
Their own country.
You know what's weird about right. You know what's weird about them, Steve? Not
they might be the third. They might be the third most popular team in that country. It goes Canadians, Maple Leafs, however order you want to do that, and then the Raptors. But go ahead. What was your point?
Here's the weird thing, Steve, about the Raptors. They got three guys: Lowry, Gasol, Ibaka, with 13 years or more. Lowry at 13. There is not nobody else on their roster, Steve, that has over 4 years in the league. Figure that out for me. And some of the guys they actually sold, good plug-and-play players. You know, Stanley Johnson. You know, they mm-hmm. got him
How
under the radar. Fits right, they fit right into that system, Steve. But they have nobody. Matter of fact, Hollis Jefferson is the guy with 4 years. Him and Stanley Johnson. That's the highest they got other than Gasol, Lowry, and Ibaka. Everybody else got four or less years in the NBA on that team. That's amazing, dude. And they got the third best record in the NBA.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Dude, do you think – let me – final question from you, but let me ask you this. Do you think they could come out the East? Give me a percentage on it, because I say yes, but what about a percentage on it?
I go as high, Steve, as 75, because remember, they was the blueprint of stopping the Greek Freak. They had the blueprint. Just because they lost Kawhi, don't mean the blueprint went away. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Steve. That, and it might end up being them two, because they're 1-2 right now. And I tell you what, Steve, I got to the point, again, not to beat a dead horse, I'm not betting against the Raptors no more. I'm sorry. I've seen too much. I've seen the direction they're going in. And they got a good coach. I'm not taking them out the nest. No. That would be a good series again. And now you have Siakam taking the place of Kawhi. The lane is still going to get clogged with Ibaka, Gasol. Greek Freak's still going to show us if he can shoot or not. And I don't know, Steve. You're right. I don't see it being a cakewalk. I don't care who they play. I feel bad for whoever has to play them. Because right now they'll beat the Nets. That's who they would play in the first round right now. They'll beat the Nets.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
Well,
as far as the rest of it, Steve, the Knicks have done.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was going to say, the Knicks have done. I had hopes for them trying to make a playoff push, but that's all I got to say about that.
Look at the brighter side. Pitchers and catchers reported today, and we'll be on Monday to discuss the baseball, man. I mean, let's get to real. We'll be back on Monday.
I
got to
set my calendar for that.
Yeah, definitely do, man. It's good talking with you, and the Knicks lose big at home, and they won't take the court until next week. So other than that, man, sangre azul, man. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.